been a while. We're on page Reish Lama Dalet. So I know that one of the last words people like to hear after all the Yom Tovim is the word tshuva. Tshuva? Oy vey. I was like, it's a Maisi Shahaya. Alavai, Maisi Shahaya. Tshuva.
Hey, the tshuva on the tshuva.
That's for sure. That's a very big yisod in this song, to the tshuva on the tshuva. So Rabbi Nachman has a whole Torah on that. The tshuva on the tshuva. But in many ways, really, the best time to begin to talk about tshuva in a very practical and less frightening way is by Shabbos Bereishis. So it's Erev Shabbos Bereishis. And what we're going to learn is all Bereishis Dik. Everything here is Bereishis Dik. So on page Reish Lamed Daled. So many, many of us, all of us, I'm sure, during this past tkufa, have been thinking about and maybe even articulating Kabbalah's changes that we want to make in our lives. Kabbalah's, which is a very big part of tshuva, and one of the hardest things to admit is that many of these Kabbalahs are the same that we made last year, and the year before, and the year before, and that oftentimes our Kabbalahs don't materialize l'maisa. We have certainly wonderful and sincere intentions, and we make decisions to change, to make improvements, but we find that very often they just don't work out. So if anything, the best time to talk about this sugya is right after the Yom Tov. And of course, one's entire life is, all of life is tshuva. Tshuva is not just about averus, as we've learned so many times, especially when we learned the Erez HaTshuva. Tshuva is about returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what the Mechaber is explaining in a very, very clear and simple way. So on page Reish Lamed Aleph, Ayis Gimel, Kabbalah La'azid, Lafi Koichai. Of course, one of the main reasons why these Kabbalahs don't work out is because they're very often not realistic. They come at a time of when we're excited or we're terrified, and we're begging Hashem to give us another year of life and of health, v'chulei. So ha'avoid ha'maisis shel ha'tshuva in the imu me'ira. The truth of the matter is, and that's why it's easier to talk about it now, that the avoda, the practical real avoda of tshuva, after the whole storm and after the whole all the drama, the emes is that in the imu me'ira, it's pleasant and lichtig, in the imu me'ira. And each person can work on a tshuva and can achieve great things. The fierko, each person according to his madrega. And the reason that we don't usually associate tshuva with something that is mi'ira and ni'ima is because, for the most part, we weren't raised being taught what the pnimius of tshuva is about, what tshuva really is about. Vihi lo shur l'Hashem es b'chol libo. Tshuva means to return. B'chol libo, to wholeheartedly return to Hashem, l'hachlit, and to make a decision. That me'ata ani chai im Hashem es b'chol. But from now on, me'ata, ani chai im Hashem Yisbarach chai. I want to live with Hashem Yisbarach. That's the, what they call nowadays, the paradigm shift in one's thinking that lies at the core of what tshuva is. The decision to stop living alone. The decision to live with Hashem. To live with Hashem Yisbarach. To stop running away. To stop living alone. Me'at ani chai im Hashem Yisbarach. That doesn't mean that a person doesn't make occasional mistakes. The same way when people get married. And the decision is me'at ani chai im plonis. That from now on, the rest of my life, I'm going to be living with this person. It's a commitment that has good days and bad days, but the the yisod of the person's entire life is me'ata ani chayim. From now on, I'm living with. This is my life. Me'ata ani chayim Hashem Yisbarach. Me'achshav ani davik bo. From now on, I want to be davik bo. I want to be attached to him. Vani shalom. And I'm his. Vani shalom. Va'ayses v'tzana. And because of that, I want to do his will. Because I'm his. Because ani chayim Hashem Yisbarach. Not because of Gehenim. Not because of Gan Eden. Not because of what others think, what others say, not because of guilt. But ani chayim Hashem Yisbarach, ani shalom. Va'ayses v'tzayim. V'zeh kol echad yochel. And this everybody can do. V'zeh kol echad yochel. Ke'ein zeh derish mehodom lios malach. This tshuva, this which is the yisod of tshuva, doesn't make any demand that a person be a malach, an angel. Luchyas betzura nechayna. Luchyas betzura nechayna. But to live in the right way. Im kesher v'hargosha v'Hashem Yisbarach. There's a kesher, there's a relationship, there's a feeling of the presence of the one who you're living with. Not to ignore that, but to live in that reality. Ulahavin v'lizkar, to understand and to remember, Shashem Yisbarach, hu v'raku, achiyas v'hatoiv shebebriya, that Hashem and only Hashem is the life, is the chiyas, the toiv, the or, in creation. V'chutz menu ein shum davar amiti. And besides him, there is nothing else that's of ultimate truth. Everything is here and goes. It doesn't mean that everything doesn't exist. It exists. But its existence, like Rambam explains at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, its existence is not an emistic existence. Because it's finite and passing. Only v'atu chai v'kayim. V'luchyes es mitzius so itanu. And to live in that mitzvah. Tshuva means the decision to live in that mitzvah. Po ba'olam. In this world, in our lives, to live in that mitzvah. In the mitzvah of Reishis bar Elokim es haShamayim v'haSaretz. To live in that mitzvah. And that, of course, Reishis doesn't mean just 5,700. Where are we holding now? 83 years ago. It doesn't just mean that. It means that at this second, that he's Mechaya, Mahava, the world, everything, our lives, our breath, this second. Vav shekemuvan tzarech lesnagi ban holgar ritzuya beinav yisbarach. Of course, this includes behaving in marriage as well. It includes behaving ban holgar ritzuya beinav yisbarach. To behave in a way that's proper and fitting. But that's not so hard. that whole inyan of living a life of Torah mitzvahs, being, you know, on the program, being enrolled. The reason that it's often felt, and certainly by many, many young people who are just beginning to mature, and they really don't understand why they're doing this, what they're doing. The reason that it feels so heavy is because a person isn't living in that relationship. It's obviously going to be very, very, very tedious and monotonous, and worse than all of that, to be continuously expected, to be always expected to do things for someone that you don't believe in. Or if you believe in, it's in a very, very hazy, fuzzy, distant way. And that you're constantly expected to do Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. You're constantly expected to do these things, and it's not your reality. It's not the reality that you're living in. It's not your world. There's that feeling of getting up again and doing these things, and for what? For who? Why? If you're not living in that metzias of ani shalom, if you're not living in that metzias of me'at ani chayim Hashem esbar, then doing all of these things, not even talking about learning Torah all the time, but doing all of these things, it's just becomes a drag, a schlep. But if a person is living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the metzias that he's in, and he's living in a life, of dveikus, of v'ani shelo, so zein hakasha kol kach. Zein hakasha kol kach. El kol echad lefi madrigos ha-matzov, yaseh svetzan Hashem esbaruch. Each person, according to what he's able to in his madrega, and lives in this Rosh Nev Hashem, Kfi Shehorein B'Sarosol, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taught us in his Torah. V'Hashem Zvach Lo Derish Meheldem Shleimus. Talking a lot about this over the years, especially during this time of the Yimei HaRotzen, that Hashem is not demanding perfection. Hashem is both not very shleimus. So, not only does a person feel that I'm working for somebody that I don't know, I have no shaychus to, and he's got a million things for me to do all the time, but I also have to be perfect in these things that I'm doing, which I don't know why I'm doing and for whom I'm doing them. I have to do them perfectly. Imagine any of us would be at a job like that. It's miserable. I have to work nonstop. My work has to be perfect. I don't know who I'm working for. I don't know why I'm working. And I don't recall ever getting paid for the work. You know, anybody that, who wants to be in such a job? But that's a lot of the chaver feel. Nobody says that. They don't say that, except, you know, like the kids that just like, because they're very straight down, so they just like walk away from it. But otherwise, people don't say that. They just come late, leave early, you know, the whole business. But Hashem is a lot of rest from all them shleimus. Elarakshi is amitz lavay. Just do you try. Bechol kaychei, with whatever kaychis you have. You talk to Vekas Vakar Hashem Zbach. But again, but Hashem Zbach says first, look, enter into this relationship. Be in this try to be in this in this mitzvahs. Once you're in this mitzvahs, so it's not hard. It's a pleasure. It's exciting. And you feel that you're that it's alive, and that you're constantly getting paid, and you feel filled with gratitude for those payments. B'mkachu oisa hazai av shadayin lo tiken legamrei. If a person lives this way, then even though you haven't yet been misakin legamrei, it's not perfect. Like we learned a lot in Eretz Yeshuva. Even though it's not perfect. As I afshadayin latikin legamrei, even though while you're saying those alchets, you know that that you're not able to perfect each of those categories of life. You know that. Mikol mokom tshuva so tshuva. Nevertheless, the tshuva is tshuva. It's a very big sugi in halacha. We've spoken about it. I spoke about Shabbos tshuva a few times. About chatzi tshuva. What does that mean? To do tshuva if you know that you're going to repeat this. So what does it mean to say vidui if you know that you can't overcome this problem? So I'm not going into the whole sugi now. But we learned from the Kadmainim. We understand that especially Lidoreinu and Matzaveinu, that also is called tshuva. Tshuva doesn't mean perfection. I jotted down here, when I was learning this, just a sentence from Eretz Yeshuva, from the Hagadama of Eretz Yeshuva, from the introduction, Rav Kook wrote an introduction to listen to this sentence from the Hagadama, from Rav Kook's introduction to Eretz Yeshuva. He, meaning tshuva, mitzvah Hashem, she mitzad echad, kalosh v'kalois. Tshuva is a mitzvah of Hashem, which mitzad echad, on the one hand, is the easiest. Is kalosh v'kalois, is the easiest mitzvah there is. Shrei hear her tshuva, who cry tshuva? Because even a passing thought of wanting to be better, it already has a shame tshuva. That's already called tshuva. You ready, Mekan the Mitzvah? Mitzad echad, he koshes shebekoshes. But on the other hand, it's the most difficult of all mitzvahs. Listen to these words now. Shelo yotza adayin el apoel b'milua ba'olam uvachayim. Because this mitzvah has never been by anybody completely fulfilled. At any point in history and time, it has never been fulfilled in its perfection, by anybody. Anybody. So it's kalosh shebekalos, and it's kosher shebekoshes. Kalosh shebekalos means that to be in the sugya, to be in the parasha of tshuva is kalosh shebekalos. To be a person that's called yom of tshuva is kalosh shebekalos, in a sincere and real way. Perfection, Rav Kook says, not Moshe ben, not Dovin HaMelech, not the Baal Shem Tov, not the Vilna Gaon. It hasn't yet been perfected. It hasn't yet been perfected. And that's not something that a person should concern himself with. Ke'ein shleimus l'nivra. Ke'ein shleimus l'nivra. Because a nivra is not perfect. Ein shleimus l'nivra.
And Hashem, who examines our hearts, our kidneys, our hearts, what's inside of us.
When he sees the person is putting his kaiches into it, according to his matzav, whatever his matzav is. Everybody's in a different matzav. Hashem forgives him. And over time, Hashem's help. And over time, he'll be mashlim. He'll try to improve. He'll try to get better and better to improve, to be mashlim, Aval ein ze nagei le'etzem ha'tshuva. That's not, it's not nagei to etzem ha'tshuva. To etzem ha'tshuva. To the definition of what tshuva is. To being in that mitzvah of ani chayim Hashem Zbar. That's tshuva. And to be honest about that. And to work on that. And what does it mean to be in that mitzvah of Bereishis Baruch Elokim, ani chayim Hashem Zbar. Ani chayim Hashem Zbar. Let's read the notes, Tafay and Tafav. So Tafay, on Reish Lam Dalam on the bottom. Yesh ha'chayishu m'leim ha'kama ha'tshuv yikalu umiru. There are those who are afraid of even thinking, talking about, teaching. Ha'tshuv is gevaldik. Ha'tshuv is not a dirty word. It's the most beautiful word in the world. Kalu umiru. Ha'tshuv is simple. And luchtig. Why? Why are they afraid to even think about this, let alone to teach this? There's always that. There's always that fear. That will create a mindset, a mistaken mindset of what the Mishnah calls echtavoshev. Oh, so. I'll do a various, and I'll do tshuva, I'll do a various, and I'll do tshuva. But like the Baal Hilula from yesterday, from the Baditshuva Schusi Yelena, they say, you know, I've said many times, Kedusha Levi, that there was a Yid over there in Baditshuva, that was a Ganav, and the Baditshuva said to him, whatever the guy's name is, Yankel, I'm Amish Makani, you, because when you do tshuva, since all the Gemara says when the person does tshuva have all the zibanyas, all the various become mitzvahs. You're going to have so many mitzvahs. The Baal Hilula said, "There's going to be so many mitzvahs. I'm so makani." So the Yid said, "Rabbi, tomorrow you're going to be makani more than today." So you know we don't know what the Baal Hilula said about that. They say it's just a story.
He ended up doing tshuva.
Huh?
He ended up doing tshuva.
You can be sure if that person heard from the Baditra's mouth those words, and the Baditra spoke to him, that he ended up doing tshuva. I'm sure he did. Because it wasn't, he didn't mean it either by way of Echtav Roshev. Otherwise, the story wouldn't have been told, Stam or Vishayim, telling Maisim from Vishayim. So people are afraid to talk about the truth of a tshuva for two reasons. Most because they just don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know what the tshuva there. The essence, even what we're talking about now, many people would hear this and say, this is not it, this is not what tshuva is, it's not what we were taught, it's not what the Rambam says, not what Ben Yoni says, this who says such a thing, it's a chiddush, whatever. So one thing is because people don't know. And the second thing is that they're afraid that, oh, if I say this to people, then my students or my kids or myself will think that it's just a pass to do a virus and say, no, do tshuva, do a virus, after wash. Which the Mishnah says, I must be that person never does tshuva. When a person thinks like that, echtav ashuv, so that he doesn't do tshuva. So that's a chashash, that people fall into that rut of echtav ashuv. V'gam ha'tshuva lo tiyah b'maspik b'rit sinus, and such, and then the person's tshuva is not going to be serious.
Maybe because it's not tough enough. Punishment and sin philosophy.
Yeah, because it's missing the fire and brimstone. It's missing the fire and brimstone, and it's going too easy on sinners, and you know they associate this with the program in New York State. What's it called? I don't know.
Catch and release.
No bail.
Catch and release.
Catch and release. Yeah. Yeah, no bail. Yeah, so you know, it doesn't. It's not working. From what I heard, it's not working. It's echtav ashuv. The whole mahalach is a mahalach of echtav ashuv. It's a world without any law, without any respect for law, without any belief in there being any need to keep the law. That's not what this is about. Vini milvad she'en lachshish mizeh, kikach darkish al teir. Milvad, he says first, we don't live with such a chshash. Even though most of the teachers I grew up with lived with that chshash, and that's how they taught us. It's not the chshash. To assume the insincerity and the sinister and evil nature of people is not the Torah's mahalach. Is that Menachem? On my glasses? I wasn't sure. And on my glasses, I saw there's a yid of the beard over there. Kikach daka shel Torah, k'ma shekosuk yisharim dacha havaya. Yisharim dacha Hashem. But Barshalom doesn't look at us like that. Barshalom doesn't look at us like that. That's the first mistake. That's the biggest mistake. That an Orthodox Jew was raised with a Protestant, God, that's the worst thing. How that happened to us? That Orthodox Jews have a Protestant God, or some pilgrim of a God, or something. A God came off the Mayflower or something. It's Kach Darkish Terrors, Drache Darkinon, Kalnusil Sel Shalom, Yisharm Dache Hashem. But that pasuk ends, Tzadikim Yelchub, Amma Pashim Yakashlubam. It's not the Chash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that people are dishonest and are not real and are phonies and are frauds, fakers, and are trying to play games with Him. There are people like that. Hashem is not naive. He created us, He's not naive. But Yisharim Tzadikim Yelchub on Paishim Yekoslovam. The Baruch Shalom knows that a person, most people are Elchub people, are good people, and they try their best. A Paishim, and there are Paishim, there are sinners, that will take advantage of any program. That's how it's always been. Are there people who are going to take this and what we're learning even right now today and take it into Echtav Ashuv and say, Echtav Ashuv, you see? This is a whole thing of Echta Oshav, and you can't trust people, and they're gonna they hear this stuff, and they're just gonna think it's the easiest thing in the world. You do all the various you want. You read a little thing from the Svarim. You have a kumzitz. You cry for a second. Everybody. Are there people like that? There are people like that. Yes, there are people like that. Could that happen? That could happen. But that's not the Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom doesn't. Relate to us in this way of chashas and looking at us like a bunch of paishim. It's true, paishim yikashlu, but yes, there are paishim, there are sinners. We'll take all of this, what we're learning, which is the truth, the pnimius of tshuva, they will take this, and they will abuse it. And they will be in that category of a paishim yikashlu, paishim yikashlu, Paishim will misunderstand and will misinterpret, just like they misinterpret many things in the Torah to their advantage. They'll misinterpret many things in the Torah. So therefore, the Hashem shouldn't have written the Torah the way that he wrote it. Because I already told Hashem, somebody wants to make a mistake, you have a to make a mistake. If he wants to misinterpret, you can't stop a person from misinterpreting. You can't stop a person from misusing and abusing and twisting. Yes. You can't stop the things that every day that we hear in the news and what happened to the whole world and the whole country, how things are so twisted and strange. You can stop people from Parshim Yekoshlovam, but that's not the Rishon's general mahalach with people that Jews are intentionally trying to take advantage of the system to play games. Are there people that try to take advantage? Yeah.
Rabbi, doesn't any program have to be built on some serious yira? Like Hashem speaks pretty.
David, we're not talking about eliminating yiras Hashem and yiras Einish.
I'm saying it only works when that's.
Of course, there has to be
the ikar or the foundation.
No, the foundation is not yira. It's not the foundation. It's something which is. indispensable, but that doesn't mean it's the foundation. The foundation is Dveikus Bashem. Yirah, awe, and fear is a very important ingredient in seeing to, and we're going to talk a lot about that, in seeing to it, that the person doesn't slip into becoming careless and falling. That's true. But that's not the essence and the core of a relationship. And if you have that in your marriage, that's miserable. And it's the same thing with Hashem Yisbarach. That's not that. There's a tremendous importance, there's great importance in the marriage as well, that one lives with the, I don't like to use the word fear, but lives in a way that's cautious of not slipping up.
Yiras hachet.
Yiras haremus. Not to disappoint, not to hurt, not to in any way be unfaithful. Of course, it's a huge part. Yiras hachet, yiras haremus. And there even has to be a basic level of yiras einish, of fear of retribution. But you began the sentence by saying, you said about yiras, about the foundation, it's not the foundation. It's not the foundation. Just because something is the go-to when nothing else is working, it doesn't mean that's the foundation. It doesn't mean that's the foundation. It's, you're right, there's a go-to that, you know, at the end of the day, I might not be feeling anything about Hashem. I might not be feeling any ahav at all, but I can't do this because if I do this, I'm going to be in big trouble. There is a go-to like that, but that's not the foundation of the relationship of Yiddishkeit, the go-to. You understand what I'm saying, David?
Yeah, I just want to comment that the line I keep hearing Rabbi Vugdamila Zichron of the Brunner say is, why does Hashem say to Aaron HaKohen Gadol, the most loved, if you don't do this, you will surely die? Such harsh language.
Right.
He says, why is that necessary? Because it is for a human being. It has to happen.
Right, right. So no one is disagreeing with that, although I completely disagree with that Tzaddik's Mahalach of how he taught Yiddishkeit. With the greatest respect and love, but because of the emphasis, not because there isn't truth to it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because there are certain teachers and even great people that highlighted that as being ke'ilu, the core of Yiddishkeit. That's something which is, that's something which certainly in Tavshin Pei Gimel does not bring Jews closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not, and according to what the Svar Makadosh and Peaches, it's simply not true. It's not, it never was at the core of Avodas Hashem. Not from the time that Adam ate from the tree.
And just to finish up his sentence, he said, he brings up...
I really had enough of that sentence. I don't want
to... No, well, it's different. It's a different idea where he says, that he brings up a medrash where the king lets the queen see the torturous...
I'm getting hijacked.
And he says, it's not for you, my dear. It's for my disloyal subject. But he does want her to see it. So I think it's a lighter touch. Where he's saying, he doesn't say that's the anchor of their relationship. But he does know it's there.
Good. Okay.
And
good.
He says that.
And I'm glad that you finished it. Okay, good. That's good. But still, that's that. But you see, but very often what will happen is that people hear those kind of things and they won't get to the end. Or they won't feel that. They'll only hear the part of that ke'ilu, that's the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And if you and if you stop a typical 16-year-old or a 14, 15-year-old kid and you ask him, talk to him about Yiddishkeit, he'll mostly say back to you the first part, not the second, not the end. Not the end. You know, he'll say the first part. He'll hear that part of the drush. I'm not saying that the tzaddik didn't say this to the end, but that's not the part he's going to, because the... Because it comes together with that fire and brimstone, and that whole cloud of that feeling of that dark cloud. So even though there's a lining, and there's something there's some sort of not a disclaimer, but a little bit of a disclaimer at the end. But that's not what the typical yeshiva bach is going to hear. It's just not. It's not the nature of a person to hear it in that way. I'm never saying that all those people at Sadiqim that taught that and so on. But But I'm talking about especially now in Tavshin Pei Gimel, what needs to be highlighted, which part of Yiddishkeit needs to be highlighted. Because the tachlis is always the tachlis is to bring a Jew closer to Hashem's Baruch. When he's closer to Hashem's Baruch and he lives in this metzias of Me'ata Ani Chayim Hashem. And that's what I feel that was left out of much of the education. It's being left out of much of the education, I feel. And it's being left out. Most of the Me'ata L'chios Hashem, Chayim Hashem. And therefore, Yiddishkeit becomes just a big hacklet of stuff. Rules and regulations and, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And then and you could just, if you don't believe that, then just have a conversation with them. Just pick out any, on the street, stop a yeshiva boch and talk to them. And ask him, what are you, you know, 14, 15, or just talk to him about what is it that he, you know, how does he look at God and tshuva and Yiddishkeit? Just talk to him. I've said many times, nobody will ever want to conduct such interviews. They won't want to do that because it'll undermine everything. It'll change change the entire perspective of what's going on. If you just talk to the kids and ask them what do they think? What do they think? So, Yisharim Da'ach Hashem Tzadikim Yelchel Bam Paishim Yikosh. Are people going to take these teachings? Are people going to take the stories of tzaddikim? Are people going to take the teachings of tzaddikim and to twist them and to use them in a way that suits them? Ki'ilu, everything is fine. You see that a lot of people do that. There's an issue like that. And there are people that, you know, that they'll take the teachings of Rabbi Nachman or of the Radishva and they'll hear a story from the Rebbe Abzusha and like everything is good, no matter what I do, I'm fine and God loves me you know, and everything is, you know. Yeah, there are people that are going to make that mistake, and they'll put a spin on the teachings of the tzaddikim. There are many places in the teachings of the Beit Shemesh where he's very strong. Rabbi Nachman, anybody that's learned Kedushas Levi, look at the Maran, I'm just using them as examples. Very, very strong. There's that ingredient, a very strong ingredient of Yiras Hachayit, even Yiras Einish, and the writings of the Tzaddikim, but that's going back to the beginning of what you say, but it's not the foundation of Yiddishkeit, Chas v'Chalila. That's not the foundation of their teachings. It's not the foundation of a person's marriage, God forbid. That's the difference. Whereas the impression that many people get, whether it's intended or not, on the part of the teachers, the impression that many of the Chevra get growing up is that is the foundation. They only hear the first part of that talk, they don't hear the end of it. They get a look at it, and the queen, and all that stuff. Anyway, none of them think of themselves as being the queen, you understand? They think of themselves as being the lowest and the dregs of society. And so they don't look at themselves as being the queen. They only look at the rabbi that's giving the talk as being like, you know, the queen or the king, but not themselves. They look at themselves as being the lowest. So how does that help them, that someone says to them, however, it's important that even the queen gets a hat. Dibur doesn't mean anything for the guy that thinks that he's worthless and that his whole life is just a virus. That helps him? No, it just confirms whatever fears he has about him being absolutely, you know, hated and despised by God. All those talks just confirm his worst fears, that he's hated by Hashem, he's despised and he's low in Hashem's eyes. That's all that stuff does. Maybe, again, it works for other people at some time in history, and there are some people that it works for, but generally that's not a mahalach that works. I'm sorry, Shimon, you were going to say something.
Yeah, and I was going to say that the Slanim Asfarim say that the highest form of Yira is a fear that will be pogim the Hava.
That's Yiras HaRayim. That's the deeper meaning of Yiras HaChayit, is when I'm afraid to do something because I love you so much and you love me so much that I don't want that there should be any slight, tiniest little bit of a stain in that relationship because I can't bear the thought of something taking us apart. That's what year is. And that's the year that helps people grow. Are there going to be some people that learn the Nesiva Shalom and the Beis Avraham, the Rishon Mul, the Slanim HaSfarim, or the Svarim of the Tzaddikim? Because also Slanim HaSfarim, the Nesiva Shalom HaSfarim, Are they going to learn that and they're going to twist it and they're going to, you know, do like a woke job on it? Yeah, sure. You see what people are making of the Constitution of America? And it's a relatively recent thing. You could almost dig up a few people and ask them, what are you talking about? It's not so long ago, the Constitution. And you see what they're making of the Constitution? It's all there. It's like the whole country and everything is crazy. Turn it around. It's Parishim Yikoshlubo. Parishim Yikoshlubo. You hear the things that people are making of the law, and anybody who has a seichel, a little bit of an honest mind knows that we're just talking about in America, havdol el of infinite havdolos in the Torah, that's not what the founding fathers of the country had in mind. Such things, such an insanity. That's not what those were elocha people. That's not what they had in mind. The things that. And, but you could twist whatever you want to twist to make any law and to make any. That's what it means, a Parshim Mikashavam. There are Parshim in the world. There are people like that. There are people, there are Parshim and Parshim Mikashavam. And the Parshim are going to twist and to manipulate the truth to suit themselves. But the Baruch Shalom doesn't give a Torah for Parshim. The Torah was given to healthy, normal people. To good people. The Baruch Shalom gave it to good people. There are people that are not going to do good things with the Torah. And they'll take the Torah and they'll do all kinds of stuff with it. And that's not, the Baruch Shalom didn't say, I'm not going to write the Torah because I'm afraid of those people. They're going to make all kinds of mistakes and twist it and take what I said and to make it to something else. And that's what everybody, that you see people doing, like a Seder. That's not why the Baruch Shalom wouldn't have given the Torah if he's be afraid of likes and dislikes, or somebody reading the Torah and then goes on the computer and has his thing, you know, of Parshas Hashavu, but the whole thing is crazy, and so therefore the Baruch Shalom said, I wish I wouldn't have given the Torah. This guy wrote up a whole thing on it like that. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting in Shemayim, the Baruch Shalom sitting here, he's saying like, I never would have given the Torah if I knew that this guy was going to write such an essay, you know. I never would have given the Torah if I knew that this guy was going to make it such a. Parshim Yikoshlubo. At some point, everybody's going to know the truth. So, and that's the biggest Gehenna of all. Finding out the truth when you invested your entire life and existence into something that wasn't true, just finding out the truth. You don't need any bigger Gehenna than that. At the end of the note, Tafei. Shuva means to return to Hashem. That's what it is. And Hashem knows everything. So v'ubarchen klai yisrael leiv. And Hashem examines us. Therefore, it's not shaykh to do real tshuva in this way of echt of Hashem. Hashem knows whether you're playing games or you're not playing games. It's not. That's the meaning of a parishim yikosh lobo. And note tough vav on the next page. And this also does not mean, what we're learning now does not mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatech, that's no bail, whatever. That you don't have to account for any of your misdeeds. That doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't keep a cheshbon. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatech. The Gemara says, we're not allowed to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks or doesn't care or ignores what we do. That's another reason that people get nervous about learning what the Pnimius of Tshuva is about, or teaching it, because it could give the impression that Hashem is Mevater, that Hashem says, okay, it's all right, don't worry about it. This is okay. You know, he's Mevater. Ki bevada yesh mishpat al kol ma'isa. Bevada yesh mishpat al kol ma'isa. Of course, and that's in response to what you're asking. Of course there's mishpat. And mishpat We're learning about that a lot in the Hizbari de Schabur, that the most basic ingredient of Hizbari de Schabur is that this is Mishpat. And to know that, of course, there's Mishpat. Vada yesh Mishpat, I call Maisa, that a person is being judged and is held accountable for everything that he thinks and says and he does. Avozek kasher ha'aver kayemes. V'ha'odom leishav b'tshuva b'emes. But Hashem is not mevater. Hashem is Baruch, holds the person accountable if the person hasn't done tshuva. If the person has done tshuva, then that cheshbon is finished. When a person does honest tshuva, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's not called mevater. It's called slach lanu mechal lanu kapar lanu. Slich mechil and kapar. And we believe in that, and we say that every single day. The tshuva has to be an honest tshuva, of course, to that person's ability. Again, not perfect, doesn't have to be perfect, but has to be sincere and with this rutzen to live with Hashem, to try to improve and to change one's behavior. That's called chanun hamar b'lislach. That's not vitur. It's not that there is no mishpat. It means that there was a judgment and you were acquitted. And not only were you acquitted, But the records are destroyed, the files are burned, there's nothing. And it could even become, as he done his last look, as Achius. Avgashashav b'emes, however, when a person is really doing tshuva, or mischard b'emes, and he truly regrets, again, we're not talking about a phony. The mitzvah of tshuva is not given for phonies, for paishim, for fakers. There are people that do that, but that's not the mitzvah of tshuva. When a person is mischarit, when a person sincerely regrets the mistakes, he says the al-chaitz and he feels bad about it. He regrets that he's done those things and he regrets that he doesn't know how to get out of those things at the present time. Some of those things. And he sincerely regrets that. And he's not covering up, he's not making up a story. He knows that this is wrong. He's not reinterpreting the Torah. He's not reinterpreting Hashem's will. He acknowledges that this is wrong, and I need to fix this. And he really regrets that he hasn't yet fixed this. As Hashem is marchal, and Hashem is marchal. Even if now he hasn't perfected himself in this area, Hashem is marchal, and you try to do your best to fix it. Lo mevater. That's why I just explained. It's not called being mevater, overlooking. Elo moichel mechaper menakaisa. Hashem is moichel. And he's mechaper. And he helps the person. He's menakai. Hashem helps. Like it says, Hashem is menakai. Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu helps the person to clean himself. Menakaisa. Kim Yehudi Shav. Because if a Jew does tshuva, he starts to live a better life. That's all Hashem wants. Hashem is marchal al ma'aseh meram, and Hashem is marchal what the bad things that he did. K'mar chein, shehimres pi aviv. Same thing. That when a person goes against his father, told him to do something, he went against his father. Borish ikar kasel avu etzem ma'shehimres pi aviv. The thing that's most upsetting to the father is that the child, the son, ignored him or went against him. That's more than the actual sin that was committed. It was the fact that you're rebelling against the father and that you're ignoring the father. You're going against the father. More than the actual maisa is this attitude that you have. Even though, of course, you're held accountable for the maisa, but the worst thing is that you ignored or you went against your father. Therefore, when a person does tshuva, and the father very easily forgives the kid for what he did. Because the main problem is that the kid is rebellious, the kid's going against his father. But if the kid asks for forgiveness and he sincerely wants to change, the father forgives him, because the main thing is not the act, the main thing is the rebellion. The rebelliousness, that's the main thing, not the actual maisa. It's the rebelliousness. Every parent knows that's the thing that hurts most. And when the kid says I'm sorry and he sincerely means it, he wants to do better, then the ma'aseh it's relatively easy to let go of the ma'aseh. Because the main thing is the father wants his kid back. That's the main thing, is that the father wants his child to come back to him. And whatever works to bring him back, that's the main thing. The main thing the father wants is that the rebellion, the war, should end. That's the main thing. And that's what's most often overlooked in all the conversations and shiurim about tshuva. That's really what Hashem wants, what the father wants. That for the kid to stop rebelling. That's the main thing. The ikur is not what he did or he didn't do. It's to stop fighting against his father. To stop rebelling against his father. To come back to his father. And we'll work out the protim. We'll work out the inyonim afterwards. We'll push it. That's push it. For a lot of people, that's not push it. But hopefully for us, where we are, where we're learning, that's push it.